declare, get yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Yes. Speak your word and it shall not.
I do it without any expectation. It's a requirement. I do it lovingly and I do it without expecting anything in return because I know it's the right thing to do. Say it's the right thing to do. So go ahead.
Yeah, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity.
Go to 19.
But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
So Paul is saying because of what you did, because you gave to mission, you are entitled, you qualify for supernatural provision. Somebody say supernatural provision. Talk to me again. The more you say it, you call it, it's coming. Say supernatural provision. So God said, I will make a way for you when there is no way. Supernatural provision means a lot. It means I will make a way where there is no way for you. I will create rivers in the desert, streams in the desert. I will do impossible things for you, mind-blowing things. When men are cast down, thou shalt say there is a lifting up. I will do things that will blow your mind and everybody around you because I'm God. But I do that. These things is reserved for those who concern themselves with my kingdom, my business, and mission. Put your hands together and give God praise. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version. Genesis 1, 28, the Amplified Version. Amplified Version.
And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources.
Listen,
in the service of God.
Using what?
All its
read with me. Using
all its
using,
vast resources.
Talk to me. Using
all its vast resources.
Using
all its vast resources.
One more time, everybody. Using
all its vast resources.
For?
In the service of God.
In the
and
service
man.
Of God and
man.
The service of God and the service of God, and so it is not about you. That is the sin in the church. The sin in the church is when people get blessed, favored, have access, resources. The first thing they think about is themselves and their immediate family. Not about the service of God. Not about the house of God. Not about the service of humanity. They never care about the kingdom, the church, and others. It's always about them. Selfishness is the same thing. If you look at Africa, the whole of Africa, the same problem in our political institution and on the political scene. I was watching a documentary yesterday. It was about one of these African countries. And I said to myself, why? Why? What is wrong with my color? What is wrong with us? Why? Why are we this way? Look at the hunger, the poverty. DRC, Congo. A train that is supposed to carry about just 500 people had 2,000 people in and on top of it. A one-day journey takes 8 days. And the washroom is blocked by human beings. So they have to do number two in a plastic bowl and throw it away. Number one and number two. And I said, what is wrong with my color? Why are we like this? And yet that country is the richest country in resources in the whole world. DRC. And look at the leaders we've had there in the past. Mobutu, the old man, wealthy, he and his family have all this wealth. And yet look at the poverty of that country. What is wrong with my color? And yet I know we are not cursed, because I know my doctrine, I know my scripture carefully. We were not cursed. Ham was not cursed. It was Canaan that was cursed. And Canaan was the son of Ham. And the reason why Ham was in curse was because Ham was already blessed in chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons. That includes Ham. And God doesn't curse what he has blessed, and he doesn't bless what he has cursed. So God had to bypass Ham and go to the last born of Ham, Canaan, and curse Canaan. And the black man didn't come from Ham. We came from Cush. And the word Cush means the man with the dark skin. But there is something wrong. You know, many years ago, I had a white preacher in this church. His name was Lim Vanderpool. And when Lim came to this church and started preaching, helping me out, I had a lot of CEOs and intellectuals. I didn't know where they came from. They suddenly all came around and they were all attracted towards Lim instead of me. Then I tried to find out what was going on here. And I heard them say, oh, as long as there is Oyibo among them, the thing is good. It will be okay. And I realized that people go to church not because of the word of God, but they go to church because of color. Color. It's amazing. Even in America, it's just unbelievable the way Africans are wired. But I must submit to you that I'm not cursed. We are not cursed. We can make a difference. But it's very, it's a good place to put your hand. Tell somebody you are not cursed. You are not cursed. Yes, you are not cursed. It means that we can make it. Tell somebody we can make a difference. We can make a difference. And Nelson Mandela was not white. But listen to what he said. He said, it is never too late to do the right thing. Tell somebody, it's still not too late to do the right thing. Still not too late. Tell somebody, it's not too late. It's still not too late. We can do the right thing. We can get it right. And when I saw the documentary on Al Jazeera and the poverty, and what people have to go through. Three friends have to travel on their feet with the bicycle, going from village to sell palm oil and different things. And it was raining. There was nowhere. It was like in the desert. Nowhere to hide. And they were coughing. And they have to do this to feed their family. And when I saw the struggle, the pain, and yet we have leaders cutting deals. You know, there was this country, a friend of mine was talking to me about one of these African countries that the United Nations or World Bank gave money to this country, and they had to come up with some amount of money to match what was given to them. And three presidents came and nobody would touch the money because nobody was to get anything. It was so regulated that you can't take $1 out of it. So after the third president came in this particular country, the World Bank said, if you are not going to use the money for the purpose for which it's given, use it for something else. They didn't. So they have to take the money from that country and divide it and give it to two other countries in Africa. Because nobody was going to get anything out of it. The only way they were going to use the money is when somebody benefits out of it. And if nobody's going to benefit, then let the money go. Tell somebody, what is wrong with us? No, tell somebody, what is wrong with us? Ask somebody, where did we come from? Seriously. We have a serious issue here. And nobody is addressing it. But it's serious. And it breaks my heart when I see some of the... It just looks like, for whatever reason, only when it comes to Africa, you watch this documentary on CNN and BBC and things, you just sit there and say, why are we like this? But we are better than this. We can do better. We can. We can do better. It's just selfishness and greed. It's this poverty mentality when we're raised in the villages, you know, you find 6-7 kids eating fufu from one bowl. And you have about 4 pieces of meat. And the 7 must share the 4 pieces of meat. So everybody develop the skill and then have a long nails to be able to pierce through, break through other people's fingers to have a portion of the meat. So you get a scholarship and you go to Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Oxford, Cambridge. And you come back with that survivor mentality. So you are given a job to serve your country. Instead of looking out for your country and your community, you are looking out for yourself. And when the president of Russia said that Africa is a graveyard. I was very upset and I was going to say something. But I held my peace, and when I read the whole article and understood what he was saying, he said, in Africa, the leaders don't build good hospitals to take care of themselves when they are sick. So when they are sick, they rush them out of the country. And when they make money, they take it to Dubai and other countries and buy properties all over and send their children to school outside and keep the money outside, not in Africa. They don't use the money to develop Africa. Then when they die, they bring their body to Africa and bury them. So Africa deserves their dead body. That bothered me. And if it doesn't bother you, then I don't know what's wrong with you. But we must start asking questions. And that selfishness has come into the church. We don't care about the things of the kingdom anymore. Yesterday we had a guest and I asked them to get a car, a hiring car, and it was $450 a day. So I said to Dagmar, I said, Dad, we have a lot of people with cars in the church. Why go give the kingdom's money? No. So I said, call so-and-so, ask them if they can send us their Range Rover. And they did. And that is going to save us at least $2,000. So if I need a car, I'm coming for yours. Tell somebody one of these days, Papa is going to send for your car. So clean it up. Because I'm coming for it. Amen. But it's a blessing. If we do that, we don't need to waste money. We can solve every problem and every need within. Okay, all volunteer workers, see me after the second service. Okay? All right, let's go through quickly. Look at Genesis 12 and 2, quickly.
And I will make of thee a great nation.
No, he didn't say I will make of thee a big nation. Everybody wants to be big. But God didn't say big. He said great. There's a difference between big and great. I want to be great. I don't want to be big. I want to be great. Go ahead.
I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great.
And I'll make your name big.
No.
Hello?
No.
Big.
No.
But what? Great.
And thou shalt be a blessing.
I will bless thee, make you a great nation, make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. It means that you will become the point of reference of the blessing of others. Now, how many of you believe you are blessed in this life? Come on, give me a wave offering. If you believe you are blessed and not cursed, just give me a wave offering. I'm blessed, I'm not cursed. Now, let me tell you something. You know what makes you a blessing? Until you become the reference point of somebody's blessing, you are not blessed. Never forget that as long as you live. Until somebody points a finger to you and say, I'm blessed because of so-and-so. He is the reason. She is the reason why I am who I am. You are not great. You can be big, but until others who are big, great, doing well, can point their finger to you as the source and the reason why they are great, you are not great and you are not blessed. Come with me to Deuteronomy 8:18.
But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God.
It means we can forget. And that's why we need to be remembered every now and then. Because there is something about people forgetting when they come into wealth, influence, power, money. They forget. Somebody said to me, he said, the father said to him, that if you have a friend and they become politicians or enter into politics, you have lost your friend. Yeah. And I said, tell me why. And when he explained what his father said, I believed it. Because I've had people in this house and many of our churches all over the world that as soon as they become successful and start doing better than they used to do, they change. Tell somebody, don't change. Tap somebody and say, don't change. Don't sleep in church. Don't change. Don't change. People change. I've seen people who carry my Bible. Carry my Bible. Call me Papa. And are big today. They are not great, but they are big. And they don't call me Papa anymore. They don't. Some of them even don't want people to know they know me. The other day I was showing a preacher a picture of some men of God in my office. And when he saw the picture 30 years ago, he said, Papa, is that so and so? Is that, have they seen this picture? And I said, no, Papa, give me the picture. I will take it to them to remind them. I said, no, you don't need to remind them. Let it stay here. Anytime I look at the pictures and I look at them today, I just laugh. So when I see people carrying my Bible, saying, Papa, 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 I just look at them and I say, time will tell. Yeah, time will tell. Right now, I don't know you. You know something? You don't know a person until they come into money, relevance, and power. That is where you know who they are. When people get blessed and they become big or great, and they still do what they used to do before, they are genuine. But until they become big, great, and make it, you don't know who they are. Because people change. Oh, yeah, 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 people change. Bishop Nyaku will tell, Oboda will tell you, I've seen people change, and sometimes I stand in awe. I look at them, and I say to myself, "C'est pas possible." You can't believe it's the same person who used to call you Papa and hold your Bible and was all over the place, and now they don't want anybody to know they even know you because they think they're even doing better than you. They're in a better place than you. They have more influence than you. Oh, very interesting things. And some of them even want to be bigger than you. But I don't mind you being bigger than me. You can go ahead. I don't care. You go ahead and be big. What interests me is not what men see and how men define us. It's how the master defines us at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, sometimes when I see people fighting me for relevance and recognition and for things, I just say to them, and sometimes I say to them, I wish they would just come and talk to me. I will give it to them. Because there are some things people are fighting for, I don't need it anymore. I don't want it. I don't want some things. I don't want to be on TBN. TBN was in my office recently, and they said, we want you to be on TBN. Everybody who is doing something is on TV. You have to be on TV. Papa, what deal do you want? We'll give you a good deal. Be on TBN. And I say, I don't want to be on TBN. I check my motive. Why do I want to be on TBN? So everybody can know that I'm on TBN. Is being on TBN what makes you important before God? What is the motive? So I examine my motive and I said, no, 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 no. I don't want to be on TBN. Dominion TV is coming back 21st of April, Easter Sunday, we'll be on TV. We're coming back. Dominion TV is coming back. So look out. Tell somebody, look out for Dominion TV. Look out. Look out, look out. Oh, you're not even talking about it. You're not even talking. I said, look out for Dominion Television. Tell two people, look out. Look out for Dominion Television. We're coming back. Amen. So I checked my motive and I said, let me pray about it. And I was not excited about it. Before I'll be excited. I was on the World Channel, over 100 million people. Word Channel, Monday to Friday, every day. Prayer Today with Archbishop Duncan Williams. Free. Free. All over Europe, North America, everywhere. And I went off it recently. I went off it. Because when I don't know how to do that appeal for fans. You know, if you watch TBN and all, they'll say that, call that number right now. Send the check right now. You know, we'll come back and they say, call the number right now. You know, send the money right now. I don't know how to do that. But I can say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off. Release the blessing in the name of Jesus. I don't know how to do that. So I wasn't making money. I wasn't making money. So I went off it. So if you want it, I can give you the connection to go and do it. If you want to go on Daystar, I know Lamb, Marcus Lamb, and the one, I can connect you. I don't want it. So don't fight me and don't try to kill me because you can't kill me. You don't have the mandate to take my life because you didn't raise me and lift me up. You can't bring me down. Don't even go there. Tell someone, don't even go there. It will backfire. Say it will backfire. But that is what it is. Sometimes some people want even sons. If they have the opportunity, they will kill their father like Absalom. And like Lucifer, Luciferians, they are in the church. They want the position of God the Father himself. It doesn't matter what you do for them. They are not satisfied. They want everything you have, including your wife. You are saying, eh? Is that true? Absalom slept with all his father's wives. You are looking at me with that look, oh, Kwame. It's in the Bible. It's ambition, where sons develop an ambition to a point where they want what their father has. Hey, what is this? And it's in our country and our nation. Covetousness, envy, an evil eye. People want what others have. Things that people have toiled for many years. Somebody comes overnight and he sets his eyes on what you have. And through some kind of position and power they have, they will acquire what is for others by all means. And you have forgotten that there are consequences. Hey, there are consequences. Dula kadahavas, abalanda kunda divasis, peli kutan davandukun sinikila adais, ayaban walahadika handu sitisias. There are consequences. And it shall come to pass. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Go ahead.
For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth.
It is not your brilliance. It is not the color of your skin. It's not how smart you are. It's not who your father and your mother is, or the school you attended. It's not how disciplined or principled you are. It is God. It is God that giveth thee the capability to get wealth, not for yourself, but for the benefit of his covenant, his kingdom, his church. Don't forget that. Put your hands together. Give God praise. Quickly. My time is up. 1 Kings 17, 4 to 7. 1 Kings 17, 4 to 7. Quickly.
And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook.
You see, this was a prophet. There was famine in the land. Everybody was lacking and wanting. And God said, because your assignment and your pursuit in life is my mandate and kingdom, an agenda and purpose, I will even cause unclean beds to feed you. And you will not lack. When others are lacking, you will not lack. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be very honest with you. When I see people struggling over things, I just ask myself, people can't say, Papa, pray, 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 pray. I ask myself, seriously speaking, if the thing you are seeking for is about God's agenda, I'm telling you, you have all the judicial powers of heaven and earth backing you. I'm telling you. But when it is about you, a young man came to see me in this church years ago, and he had a contract from the government, and I asked him what he was going to do with the money. He said he was going to build a first-class hotel in his village. So I said, where is your village on the map of Ghana? And how many hours drive is your village from Accra, Kutoka International Airport, 4 hours drive? And I said, brother, you are going to build a hotel, 4 hours drive from Accra. Who is coming to stay there? And your village is not even on the map of Ghana. And I said, you see, people like you, you waste God's kingdom and resources. You are a waster and a scatterer. He didn't like it at all. I don't think he's in this church. I think he left. You know, today, churches want members, so they are even accepting demons and Satan to be a member of their church. Because the thing is about numbers now. It's not about saving souls and getting people born again. Oh, that is not the motive of some churches. For some, it's about numbers to show how big they are. And no one shall be judged. Because the Bible says all of our works will go through fire, will be tested by fire. And that's why I'm very, very careful about my motive for which I do things. There are so many things I can do to be big. I've been in the business for over 40 years. I know how it works. I know what to do. Even the way we arrange the chairs, I know how to arrange the chairs to double the attendance. I know all that. But what is my motive for doing that? What am I trying to prove? Who am I trying to please? That is the danger we have to look at. But it's very, very easy in the times we live in to try to impress people and try to do things. I want to build another church bigger than this. But I keep asking myself, is it God that is commanding me to do it? And what is the drive and the motive and the reason why I want to build another building? I keep asking myself. And I haven't yet answered the question. So I want to build more churches, little churches all over. That I feel good about. But to build another huge church, I'm not too sure if my motive is about the souls of people or is trying to prove a point. I don't need to prove anything. Listen, there is a time or a time comes in your life, you know something, when you don't have to prove anything. And I think that is where I am right now. I really don't care anymore. I don't care how big you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you don't intimidate me. You don't impress me at all. You know why? Because I'm looking to the master. Adakawa hasita mahalus. Hey, minim sa mijifu tia si oinye otia si wa kume kuli onaba saso eradie kudimdi onaba saso. There's another one. It's about Mejuma Masu. You can read it when you go home. But it's very interesting scripture here where everybody was lacking and wanting, but the prophet had supernatural provision. God saw to it. Supernatural provision is reserved only for those who are committed to his agenda and mandate and kingdom and church. 1 Kings 17, 8 to 9, quickly.
And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
So when the brook dried up and provision at the time ceased, God said, I have another plans for you. I have supernatural provision somewhere else for you. You never want, you never lack. You may not have millions. Oh yes, you may never have millions. Are you hearing me? I don't have overflows and millions because there's so much need, scholarships and things I do I don't want to get into because I don't do it to impress you and I don't do it to impress men and I don't want men. Somebody came the other day, we were talking about some things, and when he saw some of the things I was into, he said, Papa, you have to put this on social media. People got to know. And I said, no, for what? For what? So they can be impressed. So they can be impressed about me and see me as some great man of God and some very important man of God. No, I don't want that. I don't want anybody to know. I want the Lord to know. That's it. That's it. That's it. He said, I will always make provision. Supernatural provision. Somebody say supernatural. Supernatural provision. Say supernatural. The more you say it, the more you are calling it. It's coming to you. Say supernatural provision. Supernatural. When everybody is lacking and wanting, you will always have enough. I've never been in need. Never been in need. Even when I was in Bible school, as a foreigner in Benin City, members of the church, I was there in the choir, would bring me suits, would bring me shoes, and would bless me. They didn't even know who I was. God would show them my face in their dreams. And some will come and say, I'm going to London. What is your shoe size and this? And they'll bring me things and bless me. God has always met my need. I may not have overflow and millions, but I've never been in need. Never been in need. He always makes a way where there is no way. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together and give him praise. Give him a shout in the house. Many wants, but God meets my needs. God never promised to meet your wants, but he promised to meet our needs. And sometimes if you stop worrying about your needs and delight yourself in the Lord and serve the Lord. Remember on Wednesday, I'm meeting those of you who came forward to serve the Lord. This is the key. If you stop worrying about your personal need and begin to serve the Lord, I'm telling you, God will blow your mind. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Stop worrying about your needs and your desires and just delight yourself in the service of the Lord. Begin to serve him. Find something to do in the church. Help the church. Advance the church. Bless the house. Bless what feeds you. Tell somebody, take care of what feeds you. Take care. What feeds you? Bless the house. Help the house. And you will never go wrong. See, I hear you. Quickly, quickly. Let's finish. Quickly. 1 Kings 17. I think 8 and 9. Yeah, we've read that. 1 Kings 19. 5 to 9. Quickly. Let's finish.
And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God.
You see, 40 days. And 49, provision. This was the third time God supplied his needs. Supernatural provision. He was somewhere in the desert all alone by himself. He couldn't have made that 40 days journey without the cake. An angel baked a cake in the oven of heaven, came to a geographical location where the prophet was and fed him and gave him water to drink and said, you need this for it. There, he said, I have put in special vitamins that will sustain your body for 40 days and 40 nights. Hey! Come on, somebody. Put your hands together and give him some praise. In the name of he who died and lay in the grave and arose, we declare, get yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall